So repentance is an axe being laid to the root. It is not an external, okay, I've decided to stop killing people. I've decided to stop picking pockets, and I've decided to stop stealing. I've decided to stop committing adultery. That's all old covenant. You can be a good Jew, not a Christian. For a Christian, repentance must go to the root. Lord, I have lived a self-centered life. I have lived for myself. I want to turn from that. You say, Brother Zach, that type of repentance is not preached. I know. Paul said that in 2 Timothy 4. People will not want to hear it. They want preachers who will tickle their ears and say, have you given up your drinking and your gambling and your smoking? Okay, come. So, why did Jesus say the gate and the way to life is very narrow? If the gate was only don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't gamble, don't smoke, that's a very wide gate. There are millions of non-Christians who can come in. But the gate is very narrow, which says you shouldn't get angry, you shouldn't lust after women in your heart. You must speak the truth, you must love your enemies, you must not live a self-centered life. I'm not saying you must be perfect. You must be willing to go this way, a willingness. The question is not whether you've given up all anger. No. Do you want to give it up? The want to. That is the mark of repentance. If you don't want to, I would say you've not repented. I've often said this to people. Supposing you are a person who really wanted to give up your anger. And all your life you battled it. Every time you fell, you would apologize and ask forgiveness. But you were still falling. Even after 20 years of wanting to give up anger, you were still falling, you were still falling, but you were fighting, repenting, apologizing, and you die and go to heaven, God will credit you with, you got victory over anger. I promise you it will be like that. Because where there is an intention, God sees the intention of the heart. I'll show you a verse which proves that. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. It's a very liberating verse. It's helped me tremendously many times. See, a lot of people say that we are preaching salvation only for those whose lives are perfect. That's garbage. We are preaching salvation for those who have a want to live this life. Sincerely want to, not play the fool. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, if the willingness is present, the willingness, the readiness, it is accepted. According to what a man has, not what he does not have. He did not have that victory. No, it's okay. But was there a willingness? Let me paraphrase that in relation to anger or lusting after women or anything. Was there a willingness, an eager desire to be completely free from anger, to completely free from lusting after women, but you didn't have it yet? You will not be judged according to what you don't have. But that readiness. See, here it's applying to money and saying, if you read the context, he's telling people to give some money for the poor believers in. Paul never asked money for himself, but he said, please give some money to the poor believers in Jerusalem. And here's a man who really wants to give, but he's so poor that he can just about, his earnings are just enough to keep his family together, pay the rent and look after the food, meat, the children's food and all that. That he wants so desperately to give to the Lord, but he has hardly anything. And he feels so bad because some rich people can give so much. I wish I could give like that. The Lord says, don't worry. I see your heart's desire. I see that you don't have much to give. Doesn't matter. Your heart's desire that you want to give, and if you had, you would give so much. I accept it as if you have given so much. More than that person. You remember the story of the widow who put in something like 2 paisas or some small amount, 2 coins into the box. And Jesus was watching it. It says Jesus was sitting beside the offering box watching it. He's sitting beside the offering box today also. You don't see him, but he's there. And he's not watching how much you put in. That's the point of that story. But how you put in. The Pharisees may have put in that tithe. But tithe from such a huge millionaire is nothing. He's got 90% many more millions to live on. That's not a great offering. But when a person gives with sacrifice, who wants to give more but has so little, that is what Jesus values. So what I learned from that, even in relation to sin and everything, is God sees the desire of the heart more than the action. And that has a reverse consequence also. You can do a very good action and your motive may be bad. For example, preaching is a very good thing, preaching the word of God. But most people, most preachers today in the world preach to get money or honor, fame, position in their church or something like that. All are evil in God's eyes. But you listen to the message. Oh, what a wonderful message. I know a lot of CFC people who listen to these, some of these television preachers, men and women, who they say, wow, Brother Zach, what a message. Yeah, yeah. Go to the internet and see how that preacher makes money. You'll never want to listen to that person again. I know people who have traveled long distance to listen to some of these preachers in India because they're such fantastic preachers. Have you ever found out how these people make money? You're not bothered by that? I'm not fooled by all this. When I listen to that, I don't need to check the internet. When I listen to a person now, I can make out from his or her mannerism and the way they speak, I can make out, is this a woman of God or a man of God? Is this a humble person or not? And I tell you, 99% of them are not. God looks at the heart. You must never forget that. Repentance is from the heart. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. We are not living in the days of the scissors. But many Christians are. Oh, this sounds so nice. It's so correct doctrine. And they are encouraging so many people. And so many people. I see 10,000 people listening to this lady or this man. Yeah, yeah. But can't you discern the spirit there? That person will never lead you to godliness. That I'll tell you. That person will lead you to a nice, psychologically good, reformed life on the outside where you'll get some honor for your Christianity. I don't want that. I want an axe to be laid to the root. I'll tell you what the root is. Somebody once asked Jesus in Matthew 22. So we need to get repentance from here. Matthew 22. Somebody asked him in verse 36, Teacher, Matthew 22:36, what is the great or the greatest commandment in the law? Now, if you had gone to a Jewish person and asked that question, see, the Jews don't go around committing, the God-fearing people didn't commit murder, adultery and all that. No use mentioning those things. You must keep the Sabbath day holy. You go and ask some of our Seventh-day Adventist friends today, what is the greatest commandment in the law? You must keep the Sabbath day. They're living in the Old Covenant. One of them, one of their leaders supposedly had a vision of the tablet, Ten Commandments, tablets, and a light shining on the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath. All deception. I don't believe in all these visions. But when they asked Jesus, they expected him to say Sabbath. He said no. He didn't even mention Sabbath. He said, here is the great commandment in the law, the great and number one commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, that is your mind, emotion, and your mind. All your emotion, all your mind, all your will, and all your heart. Must be to love God. This is the first and foremost. And he says, I cannot stop there. You ask me only for one. But when I show you a coin, I must show you the other side of the coin also. There's something written on the other side of this coin. And I cannot just show you one side. The other side is you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. The entire law and the entire law in the prophets is in verse 40 is an expression for the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament hangs or depends on these two commandments. The entire Old Testament can be summed up in two commandments, Jesus said. That is the law. You don't need 10 commandments, just these two. So when the axe is laid to the root, you know, it is disobedience to these two commandments that is the root of sin. You must always see it. You see, if you get your repentance right, you'll get your salvation right. The repentance means a 180-degree turnaround. But I need to know what I'm turning around from. If some preacher tells me I've got to turn around from drinking, getting drunk, I don't need to turn around. I've never got drunk in my life. Oh, I must give up smoking. I never smoked in my life. So what does 180-degree turn mean? Stealing, I never stole in my life. What does 180-degree turn mean? Gamble, I never gambled in my life. So what, I mean, there are a lot of non-Christians who say, what is your repentance? What are you telling me to give up? All these external things, turn around from the fact that you don't love God with all your heart and your mind and your emotions. There are other things you love more than God. Primarily your own self, your money, your job, your house, your family, your father, your mother, and some other things you love, maybe your children. But you don't love God supremely. That is repentance.